Hey everyone, we've got a great episode for you featuring Paul Grizzle, the BDR head coach. We talk about how we can stop chasing revenue and move to banking profit. Paul's got a lot of great ideas on how to think about this transition, how to improve your financial understanding. And if you don't know what an acrostic is, you will after this episode. And profit is so much more than just money. Paul breaks it down for us. Enjoy. Paul, welcome to the podcast. I'm excited for our conversation today about stop chasing revenue and start banking profit. I think we can just jump right into it. So my first question to you is, can you just tell us in simple terms, what is revenue?
So revenue is, you know, it's a dollar taken in for a sale that happened, right? I call it revenue's ego, or can be ego if you're not careful. One of my clients calls it vanity. And so obviously we're talking about profit as well, right? So revenue is, if we look at it, it's like I said, the dollar coming in and profits for me is freedom. And that also, that client said that, you know, profit's sanity, right? So that's, revenue is just simple terms, is the dollar coming in for a sale.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think I like what your client said there. And I've heard that before. Revenue is vanity. Profit is sanity.
Yes.
And there's a lot to that. But one thing maybe folks have not heard as much is that what you said about profit being freedom. Can you tell me more about what that means?
Yeah. So for me, I used to chase revenue, right? So when I owned my own business, I wanted to be 1 million and then try to hit the next million. And so chasing that was always, it was never freedom. And then once I started figuring out, wait a minute, what is profit? How does it work? I realized profit became freedom because it gave me resources to bless my team, bless my own family. And so profit for me was just a, it's just a source of freedom for owners and managers to run a business well.
Okay. Yeah. I really like that concept of gives you options and maybe we're not feeling like we're just having to chase the next revenue goal. We've got a little something more that, which I think we'll get to as our conversation goes on, of what really what that difference between revenue and profit really means and how we approach that. So, you know, let me ask you this, and it might be a stupid question, but is one more important than the other, revenue or profit?
I would always lean towards profit's more important. Obviously, you need revenue because without revenue, you can't get to profit, right? If you don't sell anything, nothing happens, right? We have to sell something. So that means we need to generate revenue, but I think protecting profit is more important to me. So I made an acrostic for profit, the word profit, just to kind of sink it into my brain. So I'll just share that. So P is for provision, R is for rewards, and then O is for opportunities, F is for family, I is for individuals, and T is for teams. So if you look at this, profit creates provisions, right? Just like Maslow's law, we want to get them up the stages of Maslow's law, the hierarchy of needs, right? And so the first two stages is really, is everything provided for that person to, you know, walk into that feeling love and belonging, right? The cool part is once we get them to that part or ourselves, when we lean into profit, then it allows us to start enjoying the rewards of the profit, which is, we've already got the provisions. And then it gives us opportunities to share this with others. And then it affects our families, it affects individuals, and it affects teams if we stay in the profit zone. So for me, just kind of putting that together, how does this verifying provisions, the rewards, opportunities for family, individuals, and teams, then how does that apply to the homeowner, right? We give them provisions, heating and air conditioning, plumbing, electrical, just the basic needs of the home. We give them rewards because we give them options, right? To make their house safer, more efficient, and healthier. And then it gives them opportunities to have clean air, all this other stuff. And it affects their family, the individual. And I look at it as team family. So just kind of a how my brain kind of went around the profit word and just how important it is to focus on that.
Boy, oh my goodness. There's a lot to break down there. I mean, I love that. And I think it really sets us up for the next part of our conversation, because most people, they think, well, profit is money, you know, and that's all it is. But you've really have broken it down in a unique way. Well, I've never heard of that. But before we step through that again, I wanted to return to the hierarchy of needs that you mentioned from Albert Maslow, I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Maslow, uh-huh. Yeah.
And you correct me if I'm wrong here, but my understanding of the hierarchy of needs is that before we can kind of move up to more maybe advanced needs in life, our basic needs have mm-hmm. to be met. We have to have food shelter and security. And then if we do all those things, maybe then we can have some of these kind of reaching our potential as a person. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. And if you look at the two top tiers, right, it falls into esteem and then it falls into self-actualization, right? So if our team members can't feed our families, how can they think about offering accessories to anybody? They can't even see it because how do I provide housing for food, water for my own family? Well, as an owner, part of my job is their needs being met, right? Well, if their needs are being met, and I know that they're getting to that self-actualization, I know that they're in the right spot in my company because we supported them to get there, right? And then a healthy person, what naturally happens when they go out? Well, now they give great customer service, right? And we're really in the customer service business. We just happen to do heating and air, plumbing, electrical. That's what we do, but we're really give great customer service. And if everybody on our team has their provisions met, what naturally starts happening as a group, we start getting rewards together. We all get opportunities to do cool stuff, and it affects all our families, individuals, and teams.
Yeah. And so then profit becomes so much more, you know, than just yes. money, and takes it to a totally different place where we could have this positive impact on many, many people's lives. And that's why I loved how you broke down the word. And I'm just going to repeat this again, I think, just for our listeners. I think it's worthy of doing so. P is for provision, R for rewards, O for opportunity, F for family, I for individual, and T for team. That is genius right there.
It's just really cool how you can really maximize that. And so what are some of the freedoms we get? I mean, some of our clients pay for their kids' college because we have profit, right? It's more than, like you were saying, it's more than money. It's really relational, right? How does it impact our families? Well, it allows us the freedom to actually take time off and be with our family. If you have profit, it's less stressful. If you have no profit, this is why it's so powerful, why BDR promotes having 10% working capital all the time. Well, that's tied to profit. Well, if you have that, that's a peace of mind that you can make it in our safety ratio, right, out of the financials. Can you make it 6 months of whatever happens? Well, if you have that, that's a piece of profit. Yes, the revenue is important. We got to have that coming in, right? But do we want a peace of mind, right? Which is, that's those the non-tangibles, I guess is what you would say, of just that peace of mind knowing because you built up your profit enough. Now you're secure. You're actually provided the two steps of Maslow's law, right? You're starting into the third step just by having that peace. And it allows you to be less stressful too.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that's a big part of that freedom that you mentioned early on and with profit that it gives you. Okay. So let's kind of come back now to the revenue piece. Cause I think if we, you know, the average contractor, they might be doing a better job of finding revenue than generating profit. I'm just making a generalization. So my question to you then is, if that's the spot I'm in, how do I start moving away from just chasing the next job, whatever that is, and getting to where I'm actually banking profit.
Yeah. So for me, it just goes down to, if you just boil it down to $1, if you're bringing $1, that's your revenue. You're like, you got something sold, you brought in that $1. How many pennies do you want to keep out of that $1? It's just changing your mindset, because revenue is all about chasing, getting a job. So, which is fun as a salesperson. It is fun getting that stuff done, right? Chasing revenue can be fun. But then we don't think about how many pennies do we want. Just like myself, I didn't understand this. Literally, it's kind of funny now. But when I first got my P&L statement, I literally thought it was for Paul and Laura's statement. I was like, then I found out it's actually profit and loss. People think I'm joking about that, but that's how my very first one came across. This tells you how much I was a tech versus a business owner. And I used to chase the revenue, and I was stressed out, maxed out all the time chasing this, because I did not take time to understand how to hold on to any of the pennies at the end. But when I shifted my mindset to, I wanted to keep 20 pennies, 20 cents out of every dollar, what now I have to investigate, where does the other 80 cents need to go? Part of that's overhead, right? Because you're going to pay that no matter what. And part of that's cost of goods. So it forced me to actually look in between revenue and profit. So if we go back to a simple, let's say you're doing $1 million a year, how much out of the million after you paid your salary, net dollars do you want out of the million? Is it $10,000? Is it $100,000? If we have a number, now we have something to guide ourselves to shoot for. Before, I didn't have goals, so I was chasing money, but I had no goals to keep it. Well, if we don't have goals, it's kind of hard to achieve them. But as soon as I put the goal in place, 20% net, 20 cents on the dollar, well, now I had something to shoot for. And the revenue is important, but it's a lot more fun doing $1.5 million at 20% than doing $3 million at 2%.
For sure.
And it's just keeping it simple. I think we don't talk, especially if you're a tech like I was, a tech that had an entrepreneur seizure and started a heating and air business. I started with $3,500 and said, told Laura, I said, hey, we could live 3 months on this check. I'm starting a heating and air business. I do not recommend that. And so, but I didn't understand business, right? I didn't understand financials. This is what's cool about BDR. We're just known for our financials, right? And the cool part about that is when you have a good financial, you now could attach that to your goal of profit that you want out of every dollar. And you can all of a sudden start seeing on paper, just like you're walking through a, you know, diagnosing a schematic on a system. That's the financial. It's a schematic, if you will, as a tech talk, right?
Yeah. Well, and so that seems to me like I love that strategy. If we're trying to move away from just chasing revenue and move to banking profit, one of our starting points is to develop our financial understanding, as you've said, and know where that $1 of revenue, that's so great way to look at it. Where does that all break down? And what do we want to end up with in the end, which is our net profit?
Yes.
So I think that's a great starting point. Another question that kind of came to mind that I wanted to ask you is, you know, are there different types of revenue? Is all revenue created equal? Is there ways to, because to make more profit, we kind of have to have more revenue, most likely, mm-hmm. or, you know, I don't want to get too deep into the financial aspect of things, but maybe just jump in there on different types of revenue and how we can look at that maybe differently than the average contractor might.
Yeah. So if you look at revenue, right, it's just a dollar coming in from a sale of something. We sold something somewhere, right? And in our industry, it's usually service, install. That's the two basic ones without going too far in the weeds. Is, okay, so what am I doing with that revenue, right? What is the opportunities there? And then you throw in accessories, right? That's another source of revenue. And so are we at least tracking this? I think it was Barry or maybe early on at BDR who's just talking, hey, let's just throw your P&L on a napkin. Let's just write it down real quick. The deal is you don't have to have fancy software to figure out what's the profit at the end or tracking your revenue. You literally could put it on a sheet of paper. I brought in $300 today in service. I brought in $500 in accessories, let's say, and install did 5,000 today. Well, you're tracking, right? You're tracking one of these pieces of revenue because there's different streams in a trade company of revenue, depending on what type of trade you're in. But are we paying attention what stream is doing what? So then we know how do those streams end with the net profit?
Yeah. And so maybe can you go on to talk about that? So if we're looking at this like a profit and loss, where revenue is at the top and profit is at the bottom, what's in between there and how does that impact things?
Yeah. And I think this is where it gets confusing is because a lot of times we throw out the term gross profit, which a lot of us contractors see as net profit and gross profit. So if we look at simple, it's right. It's revenue, then cost of goods sold, everything it costs you to do the job. So whatever the remainder is gross profit dollars. And then we could do a percentage out of that, right? To revenue. And then after gross profit dollars, there's overhead, which is your expenses, your light bills, trash bills, insurances, all the stuff it takes to legally run your company, if you will. And then after all that's taken out, then that's where the net. So you have revenue, cost of goods sold, then you have gross profit, then you have overhead or expenses, and then you have net profit. And this is why it's important to look at net profit, because if you have the goal of 20 cents out of every dollar, well, that means you got to keep all the rest of that cost of goods and overhead. You got to keep those things under 80 cents per dollar. Well, and for me, I realized like, oh, wait a minute. If I reduce my cost of goods one penny, that means my gross profit dollar piece of my dollar went up one penny. And if I kept my overhead to a certain penny, if you will, or percentage, well, then I made 1%, 1 cent more in net dollars because I controlled it. Once I stopped looking at revenue, I learned that I can actually control cost of goods and I can control overhead. Well, when you can control that means you're now empowered, right? Which is a provision piece of profit. And if I control both of those, I just gain, let's say I gained a penny on both of those. That means my net profit gained 2 pennies, which means I'm now rewarded for watching my cost of goods and watching my overhead and then reducing it by a penny each, which now gave me 2 pennies at the end. Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
And so that just simple way to look at that. And then what am I doing? I'm protecting profit. And so you literally could do this per day. Well, how much money did I bring in? What's my cost? And then you can figure out roughly where you need to be per day.
Yeah. And how you're doing towards reaching that profit goal that you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic. So Paul, another question that's kind of coming to mind then, or what are some of the actions that someone could take that, you know, now that maybe we've given them a little deeper understanding that they had before to really start moving them in this direction where, you know, they're generating revenue, but they're also focusing more on banking profit. Are there any actions they can take?
I think the first thing is, what is your definition of revenue? Start there. What's your definition of profit? Do you understand the difference? So that way we get a baseline, right? If they truly don't understand the word profit, what that means, and cannot explain it like the cone of learning, right? So if we want to remember something 2 weeks later, we need to not only take the knowledge, but then go teach it and do it. If we do that, we get 90% retention after 2 weeks. Well, this is why we want to look at this. Okay, what's revenue to me? This is why I called it ego. Revenue for ego, I was chasing a dollar. I didn't know past revenue. I didn't know what was going on past revenue, literally. Well, once I said, well, what the heck is this profit thing down here? How does it even work? Well, once I started doing an investigation of what profit is, I went from illiterate to knowledgeable of what profit is and how it works. So that I would go foundational first. Do you understand those two topics? And then jump into cost of goods and then go into overheads. And do you have those two separated correctly? The cost of goods and the overhead piece.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. So we've got to develop our financial understanding and but prior to that, set our baselines of where what revenue means to us, what profit means to us. Yeah, and this can change somebody's whole perspective and results in their business as we've seen many times with all the clients that BDR has worked with through the years. Once they kind of make this transition from chasing revenue to banking profit, and they are off to the races, and life and business becomes totally different.
And then you tie right that once they understand revenue and they understand profit, now they can go do job costing, right? Or not job costing, but verifying that everything they're doing is priced for profit, because now they understand profit, right? And so this is why you get the foundation piece. Then let's go price your stuff out. Why does BDR start with pricing? We want to make sure you make a profit. In the summaries, if you look at the call summaries, it says on there, profit coach. That's what we do. BDR does what? Drives profit and growth. We don't drive revenue and growth. We drive profit and growth. And on our sheets, on our call summaries, we're called profit coaches. Why do we do this? Because we know it gives you freedom. I don't know how many lives have been changed because we teach profit.
Wahoo. I got to say wahoo to that, my friend. That is awesome.
Right? It's so powerful. And this is why my personal mission statement is to make a profound impact in others that it changes generations. If I support you to see profit, 1 degree difference, I know I changed not only your next generation, but the generation after that, because you become wealthy with family, individuals, and teams. And when you do that, you change communities. And when you change communities, you change your state, right? And then what happens? This is why BDR is all over the U.S. We're making change to communities. We supported probably many thousands of people to freedom. And it's all through profit and growth.
I love it. I love it. Very well said, Paul. Yeah, I think this is great conversation. I love how you've put this out in terms, I think, that anyone can understand on how you can move from chasing revenue to banking profit. I'd love to just end on going back through what each letter in profit means and maybe just get some final thoughts from you on this topic.
Yeah, so the acrostic for that is provisions is, P is provisions, right? We want to make sure it is everybody's needs based on Maslow's law, right? Hierarchy of needs. We want to make sure is our whole team, the two bottom layers of that hierarchy triangle, is everybody's provisions being met, right? So this is verifying we're pricing out jobs right and all this stuff. So that's provision piece. Then rewards. This is where it gets fun. We reward our families, individuals, and teams, right? And then the opportunities come when opportunities show up because we have profit. We have 10% working capital. I like what Jim Corcoran says, have 3 times account payable at all times. You'll protect yourself. Well, what are we doing? We're creating opportunities. What if a new company comes? Maybe you can purchase them. What if you can bless somebody in your community? Give away furnaces. All this kind of cool stuff can happen in your community, right? Then F is for families, I is for individuals, and T is for teams. Because what we do is we create provisions, which then starts rewarding us, right? And then it gives us all opportunities. How cool is it when we give the opportunity to one of our teammates? They get the opportunity to send their kids to private school if they want to. They could buy a bass boat, go fishing with their teams. We give them opportunities to go on vacation. All these cool stuff start happening when profit happens. And who's all affected? All the families, all the individuals, and all the teams when we focus on profit. And I think it's a very powerful tool to get back to the basics. How do we bank profit? Let's go back to the foundation. Just like all the football players, they go back to spring training. it's always good for us to go back to the basics. What does this even mean to me? What's the reason I'm running a business? Am I in my profit zone? Or am I stressed out because I'm chasing revenue? Which one do I prefer to have? I prefer profit. It changed my life. My children went through college debt-free. Changed my children's life. I'm on my third generation I'm working on. All because of profit. After I stopped chasing revenue.
All right. Well, I think that's a great way to end this conversation. Thank you so much, Paul. This has been educational, and appreciate your perspective on chasing revenue versus banking profit. Thank you.
You bet.
All right. Well, and we thank everyone else for listening. And if you have enjoyed the podcast, you know, please do rate us or give us a review. That helps us get the word out. Thanks so much, everybody. We will catch you next time.